Hello, this is Dan Doolin from Mott Children's Health Center. I'm dictating a psychological evaluation. I really appreciate that you guys email these to me. Thank you so much. The patient's name is Lucas Fowler, L-U-C-A-S, Fowler, F-O-W-L-E-R. He is 5 years, 6 months. His birth date is 7/23/2020. He was seen for testing on 2/13 of 2026. He is in kindergarten at Freeman Elementary. And the referral source was Dr. Zalanda Richardson. That is spelled Z-S-A-L-A-N-D-A Richardson, R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S-O-N. She's an infant mental health specialist. His case number is 38-23-50. Reason for referral. Give me just a second here. It was in November of 2018 that the infant mental health specialist began to request a psychological evaluation for this patient. It was important that they be assigned to me because of the need to use the preschool intelligence testing with which I have more experience. Mom had expressed that he does well in school academically. However, the teachers are expressing he struggles with his behavior. There was a school observation conducted and observed that the patient appears to be disengaged in class. Teachers expressed that when the patient is bored, he is often trying to go under his desk. When the referring source meets with the patient, I observed he struggles to recall simple short directives, and he appeared to struggle with processing and directives and could not answer questions directly very often. If I were to make a simple summary, it would be that the therapist has some concerns about how this young person processes information, and they're wondering if there aren't some cognitive differences that could be identified relative to those observed differences. Summary of instruments used. Structured interview for the diagnostic assessment of children. The developmental history questionnaire. The Wechsler Preschool and Primary Scale of Intelligence, 4th edition. The Comprehensive Dysfunction Inventory Parenting Form. The Behavioral Style Questionnaire. And the Social Communication Questionnaire. Summary of Relevant History. The patient was first seen in our therapy department in November of 2024. So it must have been very early on that the therapist had begun to become concerned. There is some evidence or reason to believe that the patient has only attended a few sessions. It looks as though since about the time of December, there hasn't been continued contacts where there is also speech treatment being provided in the building that was begun prior to the therapy. there was a gap because the speech therapist was having to request more sessions, but I've been informed that they are now made available. If we review the initial visit in the behavior department, what we see is that that the parents' listed concerns were tantrums, crying, and anger behaviors. Reported that the patient will scream, cry, and hit when he does not get his way. He may have been having tantrums at times in the speech setting as part of the decision to refer. It's been reported he's been having behavioral or emotional escalations for about 1 year. And it may have become worse as he's become more mobile and has more time outside the home. At that time, teachers had expressed concern that they have to repeat themselves, that the patient had had one instance where he hit a child, but the adults could not understand. It's reported that he was sleeping through the night. It's worth noting that it was reported he's a picky eater and does not like to try new stuff, per mom. That might be a kind of normalizing way to talk about a restricted diet. Below, you'll see that there's some need for continued differential diagnosis relative to autism spectrum disorder and language disorders. And so I want to note when there are reports that are that could be associated with either of these two possibilities. And having a limited or restricted diet, although not necessarily diagnostic of ASD, could reflect preference for routines and sameness, which, if identified, could help us to clarify the diagnostic questions that remain at the end of this evaluation. However, from that first visit, it's also reported that he always gets hugged by his friends from school. And it may be that other people experience him very positively, but he can be a little trying for mother based on a single note here. It appears that speech treatment has gone all the way back to sometime in 2023. And then about halfway through the year, having some trouble meeting and then resuming therapy again, speech therapy in November. Again, I'm not sure how that relates to the authorizations needed for the service and whether it indicates other things interfering with regular contact or some difficulty maintaining regular contact or, you know, even concern about the value of contact. New paragraph. The following documentation has been collected by the therapist as they try to clarify what may be happening. There was a Vanderbilt schedule collected very early on that was highly supportive for inattention, hyperactivity, and total symptoms. This was completed by his teacher. Without any narrative statements. At the same time, a caregiver and teacher report form was found. Completed by the teacher. So a longer form. In this case, concern was raised with attention problems, externalizing problems, which reflects misbehavior or behavior that doesn't work in the context. Total problems was considered clinical. Again, another support for attention deficit hyperactivity problems. Interestingly, to my knowledge, there's only been one instance of aggression at school, and not a reported pattern, but aggressive behavior was reflected at borderline, means that there might be more signs of anger, upset at times. And borderline for oppositional defiant problems, again, it's important to say that the observation from school was disengagement. And in parentheses here, add documentation if can from the school visit. Thank you. In terms of scores that were considered normal at that time, they include being emotionally reactive, being anxious or depressed, somatic complaints, not being withdrawn, not considered internalizing, not having stress problems, depressive problems, anxiety problems, and quite specifically related to my concern after evaluating the child, no support for autism spectrum problems. We'll talk below about the fact that there are some unique qualities to this case that may make the distinction between language disorder and autism spectrum difficult. And I must say right here that in every opportunity, including when screened here, the teacher nor the parent endorse at the level of concern problems related to autism. You'll see below in the behavior observation section that there were some behaviors that Lucas was engaging in that seemed that would be easily associated with autism and seemed mildly odd and atypical. And when I reflected them back to Mom, she had difficulty identifying odd or atypical behaviors, and yet I observed them directly. We'll discuss that below. New paragraph. There was, in December, an ADHD developmental form was completed. He was in kindergarten at the time. There is some ADHD in the family on both sides and uncles. There were no risk factors from pregnancy reported. However, there was delayed speech, high activity level, severe temper tantrums, short attention span, and slow to accept changes. Where delayed talking and being slow to accept changes can happen in and of themselves, can be related to the impacts of what appears to be growing support for ADHD, and would be most directly associated with the potential for autism spectrum. However, again, delayed speech, firstly, indicates language. Once again, the ADHD rating scale was sent out, this time to be completed by the parent. And again, there was good match between the parent and the teacher in terms of ADHD symptoms and clinical support for inattention and hyperactivity and impulsivity. Pardon me. Yep, and then lastly, there is another child behavior checklist collected from the parent. The parent placed the child at borderline for attention problems and normal in many other areas. And we always privilege how the family would know the child, and there are some held concerns about the kind of clarity of the behavioral impact and the moderation of ratings provided. At the same time, specifically because autism spectrum, wherever it has been rated, either by the parent or the teacher, has not been indicated, along with what you'll see are some contraindicative observations. There needs to be a somewhat conservative approach, despite the fact that I saw some what might be considered clearly autistic associated behaviors, and again, with some clarification, the speech therapist saying that their reason for referring him was because they had concerns that he had autism spectrum and they had observed behavior similar to what I described. Next, the following information, a new paragraph. The following information was gathered utilizing the structured interview and developmental interview. Here I'll only include information that's related to, that's in addition to what's already been reported. New paragraph, Mom indicates that she has problems with him responding to instructions. Oftentimes she has to show him rather than tell him. She reported the concern as she remembered it from the speech therapist that it could be more about communication than language. When we first began the developmental interview, the grandmother was present, and she talked about how very smart he can be, but that he's overactive. She shared that despite the fact that his speech is unclear, his mom understands him more often. Lucas has speech that is clear in simple phrases, but after that it becomes unclear. And it tends to run together and become something that seems somewhat detached from intentional content. The speech therapist noted that he seems to kind of use phrases that might be repeated, that he's kind of memorized and believes should be appropriate, but that they feel, but they are not always. Mom shared that he enjoys, he doesn't seem to have just one set of toys or interests that he have. He does like cars, and you'll see below that he repeatedly requested cars from my office, but Mom did not indicate a kind of intensity of that interest. She indicated he likes dinosaurs and has various interests. New paragraph. Mom doubts did not endorse sadness or signs of depression or dysthymic disorder. It may have been that he's had more than one altercation with peers. His mom used the word fights and sometimes has these reactions to other kids, but he does not initiate or start fights. He is not a bully. He has not harmed anyone seriously or been physically cruel to people or animals and does not generally... break rules or guidelines. Relative to new paragraph, Mom did endorse at the level needed for consideration the criteria associated with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. She definitely endorsed hyperactivity very clearly. And was a little more moderated relative to inattention, and yet he meets criteria with difficulty following through on instructions, shifting attention. I, again, reflected right to Mom that I demonstrated there are instances when we speak to him and he does not respond, as compared to other times when he responded tangentially, just to indicate that I see some missing of him being spoken to. Mom indicated he's messy and easily distracted, but very clearly indicated hyperactivity. Here, she shared that he has really good sleep. He's put to sleep about 8:30. He lays down for about 30 minutes. He has an interesting behavior where he kicks his feet that appears to be self-soothing. Could be a repetitive behavior, but it doesn't happen in any other context. And so it's not clear. During this portion of the conversation, I noted some difference in terms of the way he was playing and kind of reflected to Mom, those are examples of potential odd behaviors. One of the things that she did say he does is that he'll spin objects that aren't necessarily meant to be spun or twirl. And again, this is a behavior that can be lightly associated with autism spectrum disorder, and you'll see below that I observed him spinning objects. Relative to oppositional defiant disorder, mom did not give a lot of support to that. However, there is some of that appearance in school. I'm concerned as a therapist is that there's a processing issue relative to information, and so we might need to be conservative in terms of how we interpret his non-performance of requests. But he will engage in a behavior where he's been asked not to do something and he'll attempt to do it one more time or start to reach out for it. That actually can be most associated with ADHD and impulsivity and shallow processing. New paragraph, there isn't a lot of support for separation anxiety disorder nor generalized anxiety disorder. There are no complicated ritualistic behaviors. Again, this was an opportunity to identify any kind of ritualized performance, not necessarily related to obsessive compulsive disorder, but maybe ASD. Mom did not offer any support for that. Lastly, mom did not support social phobia or the presence of any psychotic symptomatology. Making a note here. New paragraph. There were no complications or health concerns during the pregnancy or nor any substance exposures known to mom during the pregnancy, and no complications during labor delivery. And there were no early health problems. Mom shared here that he began to speak late at 2.5 years, which is associated with language disorder and risk for ASD. And again, really only able to use those single words. Mom indicated more like ADHD behaviors at school. He needs one-on-one support. Sometimes he'll start to wander away when being addressed. But here she stated no social concerns, and I think this is important that we never garnered support for autism spectrum when directly probing the teacher and the parent who spend more time with him. Of course, this could reflect the fact that the family is not prepared or to see ASD behaviors or possibly perceives them differently. But you'll see from behavioral observations that there is some reason to be a little conservative, despite the fact that some behaviors seemed very easily associated with ASD. New paragraph. Behavior observations, I'm sorry. Lucas was in a good mood the day of our observation, but very quickly I determined that his language is very, very limited, that he can speak clearly only for brief expressions, one or two words, but that if he tries to express at any length, it begins to run together and can't be understood as well. Grandmother understood him a little better. His mom was very good at understanding him. It does appear that the family has concerns about his overactivity and difficulty with instruction. But once again, whenever I said, do you observe what I observe relative to possible signals for ASD, oftentimes that wasn't, the indication was that it's not how mom was construing behavior. Lucas does appear socially motivated, engaged me in many instances for shared enjoyment, which again kind of goes against the idea of ASD. In some ways, Lucas is disinhibited in terms of social engagement. Now, that could be associated with ADHD and sometimes can be associated with a social skill deficit. However, most clearly in my mind, it's associated with ADHD. Lucas was drawn to the cars in my room, and while it was said that that's what he likes the most, it was not indicated that it was an intense interest. However, I will say that every free moment we had, Lucas asked if he could see the cars again, and he asked for them in a repetitive way. Again, we go back to the speech limitations. Is it possible that he repeats what he knows to say, versus that this is a reflection of some of focus in terms of what he wanted to do? That part's not absolutely clear to me. There were new paragraph. Again, I pointed out to Mom that there were lots of times where Lucas responded tangentially, or there were times when he did not respond at all, even though I was clearly addressing him. Again, Lucas did some behaviors during the free period while I was interviewing with Mom that seemed kind of very clearly autistic-like. For instance, he took all the cars and organized them, spread about equal distance apart going one way, then took them down and organized them going the other way. That sort of showed some kind of visual satisfaction and draw towards visual activity. He also took the cars and held them in his hands and did a hand-wringing movement. This movement is highly associated with ASD, but again, is not related to the criteria, but could be the repetitive movement. However, it didn't occur at the frequency that we might associate with the repetitive behaviors we see with ASD. A question I have asked to our speech professionals is, do children with limited speech engage in more repetitive and stimulation-seeking behaviors? And I'll attempt to plug that into this report here. Lucas has not ever been identified as having a conduct problem and was not reported to steal, but he tried several times to take one of my vehicles and put it in his pocket and asked that he can keep it many times despite being told it would stay here. Ultimately, we made a plan to check his pockets before he left. It just was not clear if his mother does not conceive of the behaviors I observed and considered odd to be odd, or that they're infrequent enough that no pattern occurs despite my observing them. And I join with the mom in terms of evidence of social motivation and appearance of desire for shared enjoyment as a contraindicator. New paragraph. The following observations were made during the administration of the Wechsler Preschool and Primary Scale of Intelligence. Number one, Lucas performed better at the beginning of this portion of testing than he did towards the end. His behavior became more expansive and more distracted. That is consistent with concern relative to ADHD. His ability to respond and do his ask also appeared to become less over time. And by the end of the IQ testing, he was on his feet and needing, I had to ask his mom to come in just to provide a little observational support such that he would try to do what I was asking him to do. very quickly on in the black design subtest, I realized there's some kind of visual strength or visual draw here. He made designs that were not part of the test that showed some complexity. Here I observed him spinning a block in a way that seemed like highly skillful. I couldn't do it no matter how hard I tried. And the spinning behavior, again, just a little encouragement. He stopped and rejoined the action. Throughout, there's concern about whether the verbal measures reflect his verbal limitation or whether the verbal limitations impacted his ability to show verbal intelligence. The pattern that emerges below is kind of the hallmark IQ pattern for someone who might have autism spectrum disorder, but also likely the hallmark pattern for young people who have language disorder. Right after that first subtest, he once again asked to see the cars again. He was able to do the visual items of information, but hardly any of the verbal items. He showed where his mouth was, but when asked to show to show where his knee was, he touched his nose. When asked how old he was, he answered his name. And here I raised concern. This is, not going to show strong verbal skill and could be an underrepresentation. It appeared on more visual tasks. He just showed more confidence, acted more surely, more effectively. I think it's very clear that he's a visual thinker. Towards the end of the matrix reasoning subtest, he appeared to be guessing as a way to handle the level of increased difficulty. He is positive and does use a lot of polite speech, and he recovers pretty easily, as far as I saw. On the bug search piece, he actually did very well. This required using a blotter, which can be a bit of a distraction, and in the processing speed measure that occurs later in the test, he did not seem to do as well. And this seems to be a best implication of processing speed as compared to the other measure. There was some mimicking noting during picture memory. We were about halfway through the test, and we were noticing getting on his feet, moving around, additional noise making the activities more fun by adding some play elements, which I tried to incorporate to maintain his engagement. During the similarities subtest, he did good on the similarities that were picture-based, but was absolutely unable to do the similarities verbal items. It's not clear that he understood, although he was able to do the visual items. And it may be that this could be a pretty oblique indicator that abstract language is lost on him and an area of extreme deficit. Again, he's up and active and moving and noisemaking. During picture concepts, he seemed to get a little upset and had a brief breakdown. This was the point in which I had to invite his mother to come in and join us. His impulsivity seemed to be rising, and I think that after this, some of the results are a little questionable or a little bit below actual ability. However, for the last two, I had his mother come in. But this is when I had his mother come in. We did the cancellation test where he seemed to get stuck on how the use of the blotter and what the blotter could do, and pressing it hard as compared to the instruction. Scores are recorded, but it's believed that a bug search is a better reflection of actual processing speed. During the zoo locations, he showed a lot of shared enjoyment behavior of trying to make it into a little game. It helps him. He did better when he did it that way. I imagine that could be off track for some teachers, and yet might be the best way for him to work in certain instances. Again, he seemed to do well on the object assembly, final subtest of the whisk. Again, this is a visual piece, and again, while he had some challenge, he tried harder here. It didn't appear to be so much guessing. There was one item in which he seemed to just really utterly not respond what it was he was supposed to be producing. And then after that, it appeared that the puzzles became difficult for him to reproduce. He did mention many times, when there was a little gap, could he see the cars in my office? While he engaged in some unusual behaviors, they were not incessant, and he was easily directed away from them, which is a mild contraindication. And again, his behavior worsened over time, which would be most associated with the potential for ADHD. New paragraph. Mother completed the behavioral style questionnaire. As compared to what might be expected, the indications from the interpretation of the temperament profile indicate that the parent sees the child as somewhat easy to manage, where implicated is a lot of complexity. Could this be related to at times feeling like mom was maybe underreporting or just simply not seeing things the same way we were? Or maybe it is that concern, specifically with autism spectrum, is preventing us from seeing the level of social strength, despite the fact that he has a language disorder. There were zero missing items, so the data is considered complete based on a sufficient number of responses, and the profile seems balanced and consistent and across high and low scores. The rater views the child as more regular than they rated, but the ratings and perceptions in this record are quite consistent. And so the emerging profile is considered valid. New paragraph, the mom still in parentheses, comprehensive executive functioning inventory here. Lastly, mom completed the social communication questionnaire. There were no notes on her completion of this particular instrument. There was a low level of endorsement. Again, ultimately, you'll see the below that this form is just yet another screen where the parent does not implicate ASD, despite that being the concern of some professionals that have worked with him, as well as me observing some behaviors we could easily associate with autism spectrum. New paragraph. There were some response problems that made it difficult. His engagement was worsening. I did try to administer a CPT, but it was just quite clear that Lucas had no ability to understand what was being asked of him, and the result would be unhelpful, where administration could be stressful for him. So it was avoided. Because of where he was when we finished the IQ testing and tried to move into the CPT testing, there's little collected relative to achievement. However, there's great risk in collecting achievement information at this age when someone is just beginning school. But we know that language disorder does present the possibility of learning disorder as well as gaining evidence and apparent meeting of criteria for ADHD, which also is more commonly co-occurring with specific learning disorder. There are some limitations to this testing based on just a few short instruments, but I do believe that we have enough information to provide some guidance and direction to the family and to the parent, and this will be addressed in the recommendation section. There is concern that the single largest measure, the IQ, does have for instance, he performed better in the beginning than in the end. Language scores are considered reflective of language deficit, but also and might emphasize the need to think of him a little bit differently, and certainly very likely makes the full-scale IQ score less meaningful. That said, there is a clear pattern emerging that can be useful in treatment planning and is telling about Lucas's ability and is valid. Test results. The following is a table of scores emerging from the Wechsler Preschool and Primary Scale of Intelligence 4th edition. Just as expected, and I'll put the table in there. Just as expected, his visual spatial IQ is much better developed than his verbal comprehension, and verbal comprehension would be considered deficient. Better visual spatial skills can be seen in young persons who have ASD, and he does appear to have a special draw to that, but that could emerge also from having language limitation and being drawn, especially if you actually have good ability. And we see that the visual spatial skills score is strong. Indeed, the fluid reasoning scale score is strong. I might suggest that these IQ scores are better representative of his ability, where we end up with a full scale and low average. And while it may lack some value given the very low verbal comprehension score, still is in the larger average range and indicates ability in the larger average range. Working memory was actually his strongest score and actually performed near high average at the 75th percentile. And so again, he might be expected to, when this score is low, we have concern with learning disability. And so this scale might suggest that if we can find the right ways of communicating with him and getting the information in, he's going to have very adequate ability. But again, the verbal comprehension is super low. He is obviously a visual learner and will benefit from showing and having support to gain from verbal instruction, double checks to make sure that he's understood, and support is expected. There'll be lots of recommendation relative to this low verbal comprehension. Both of these profiles could be associated with our concern with both ASD and developmental language disorder. Processing speed was seen as strong as well at the 50th percentile, where despite my concern with cancellation, he still performed in the average range, in high average in bug search. This is interesting because there is this concern relative to processing, but these two measures most reflect processing. I think this would emphasize verbal processing, where we truly see that weakness, that deficient score, that level associated with cognitive impairment. However, with his other scores, again, landing in the low average range, this is probably very valuable information to consider relative to education. And best ways to work with him, and that will be discussed below. New paragraph. The following is a narrative description of the information emerging from the behavioral style questionnaire. Important and mildly different, despite consistent support for inattention, is a low distractibility score here. That's something I would like to better understand. Mom emphasizes the high activity, and here both her impression and her rating is that the child has many of the characteristics of high activity. Lucas has difficulty sitting still and engaging in quiet pursuits. When it's not affecting his adjustment, it should be considered a normal part of his temperament. It's important to identify where it may interfere. Opportunities should be provided for active pursuits. Quiet behavior can be expected when appropriate, but only for short periods of time. Quiet controlled behavior, pardon me. The child's comfort level should be a guideline between choosing active and inactive pursuits. The parent does perceive the child as irregular, but then rated him as more regular. It's in the mid-range relative to routines. She indicated that he's low in approach. This is the first indicator I have to indicate anything relative to some social resistance. And again, is in some ways converse to my experience where I thought of him as disinhibited, which might be more common with adults. The record indicates a child who tends to move right in. Oh, I just said that all wrong, okay? Scratch that whole paragraph after the activity. And I can fix it. Or you can just write scratch, put a note in that says, that's not correct. Let me try that again. New paragraph. The record indicates a child who tends to move right in when meeting new people, seeing new things and having new experiences. Pardon me. This fits with my experience of Lucas as possibly even disinhibited socially. Also, this isn't very highly consistent with kids who have ASD, but again, a child could be approaching and still have low social comprehension. This would indicate that he likes and enjoys new experiences. He's comfortable with novelty and sometimes even may seek it. It could be possible that he might seem energetic when something is new but lose interest quickly. It's important to be on guard that the child does not, in his curiosity, find himself in undesirable situations. Mom indicated that the mood is generally positive. New paragraph. Mom indicated he generally has a positive mood. The score indicates a child who's positive in quality of mood. The child generally expresses happy and contented feelings, which make him pleasant to be around. Parents of positive children can generally appreciate their good fortune. At times, however, this child may tend to overvalue people or situations because of his positive outlook. To safeguard against this tendency, the child should be taught an appropriate level the need for concern about safety and reality issues. New paragraph. Further indicated was that the child is rarely persistent. This youngster's score indicates low persistence, giving up or interrupting tasks before completing them. He is most comfortable with brief periods of involvement and may need to be watched to ensure that tasks are eventually completed. Parents should give reminders when necessary and focus on the quality of work rather than on the number of work periods required to finish. Here she indicated distractibility to be more in the mid-range. And meaningfully indicated him as somewhat non-reactive to sensory input. Where we typically think of hyper-reactivity to sensory input, we could consider hypo-reactivity is also an indicator. However, might indicate there's just higher levels of input needed before changes in behavior are seen. Repetition is needed to learn rules and socially accepted responses. But not a clear indication of a sensory difference. Also, she indicated he's somewhat adaptable and close to being quick to adapt. Again, this is a little different than what we might expect with ASD. These ratings might indicate some of the reasons to be conservative or why the parent doesn't support the condition. Lastly, the parent puts intensity at the mid-range, which indicates that something is placing stress on him in school. There's evidence to believe that he's having a different emotional experience at school than he does in lower pressure, less requiring situations. In parentheses, yet mom is a little inconsistent about how well he responds to her. New paragraph. Using the social communication questionnaire, with his being at the age where ASD behaviors might be considered most pronounced, I use the current form. This means I'm asking her to think of his behavior in the last few months. She indicated very few endorsements. I had a total score of 5, where something like 20 or above might begin to suggest the presence of ASD. So again, why are they like that? There's something I need to understand. Shoot. Those things that she endorsed include trouble with to and fro conversation and turn taking, which could implicate language, social skills, and ADHD. She indicated that he does use odd phrases or say the same thing over and over again. Again, we could associate this with ASD social skill deficit, but this could also be something someone with a language deficit would do. But it was noted by the speech therapist that he tended to use more stereotyped phrases. She indicated that he does sometimes get his pronouns mixed up. Again, with language disorder, I might de-emphasize this. Now, I did not observe this, but she said that he might use words in an odd or invented way. This can be a behavior associated with ASD. Here, mom did say that he might seem more interested in parts of a toy or an object. This might be related to the spinning or something. I did not observe this. I did see the twirling and spinning, but I tended to see him use cars as cars might be used. But this could be indicative, could be a reflection of what people have seen that have concerns. All right, and yes, here she stated, maybe he does have an interest that is unusual in intensity. So there's some inconsistency in the way that we're collecting the family's view. Once again, those behaviors can easily be associated with ASD, and yet there's not enough endorsement here. Things that are not indicated are unusual interest in senses. Although I might see visual fascination, no odd mannerisms, no complicated movements per mom, even though I wondered if he didn't exhibit it here. He doesn't carry around objects with him. He does have friends. He does talk just to be friendly. He copies and mimics. I saw him do that. He spontaneously shares. Mom said that he does not pull her to what he wants to show, but I did see him do this one time with me. He uses gestures. He looks at you in the face when talking. I observed for the most part that. I would suggest eye contact is not resistant. It could be difficult relative to the level of activity. He engages in social smiling. He offers to share. He likes to share enjoyment with others. He comforts when persons are sad or hurt. Shows a normal range of facial expression. And is good at engaging in make-believe games. And shows interest in other children his age. And is positive when other children approach him. All these things, all these non-endorsements relative to the concern are important to consider and help us to consider what the fact that there needs to be care. And despite the fact that I saw what I would consider clear signals of autism spectrum, and there is need to be careful relative to developmental language disorder that has already been identified as present. And with his still having unclear speech at the age of 5, language is emphasized there. And once again, whenever we have the opportunity to hear from the parent, there isn't support for ASD, and the teacher in screenings did not support it. Summary. Lucas Fowler is a 5-year-old kindergarten student who has had delayed onset of language and continues at this age to have unclear speech beyond the simplest of phrases. It may be that he uses standard phrases more often. He seems to be disinhibited socially, so it can be difficult to tell whether there might be a social skill deficit. There is lots of support for ADHD. We observe impulsive behavior, quickly deteriorating ability to engage, wanting to be on his feet and have movement, turning activities into little games, and some support for inattention, difficulty understanding instructions, doing what was asked, missing what was said. By criteria matching alone, ADHD can be supported, and with just the caveat that sometimes that disinhibited socialization can cover some social skill deficit that we need to continue to monitor for. Lastly, I would encourage continued monitoring of learning. It's important to say that the process scores were strong, but the language was the weak processing point. In many ways, this is an interesting finding, but it would suggest that he has all the abilities except for language. And so, again, that might emphasize consideration of developmental language disorder. And, again, I'm in consultation with the speech therapist to make sure that I'm guiding the family correctly and providing correct information from an area that's a little outside of my expertise. New paragraph. While we did see obliquely autistic-related behaviors, and it might be important to share with the family what those look like so that they can continue to gain their own sense, whenever we've rated it from people that spend more time with Lucas, it's not been supported. Again, he possibly is even disinhibited socially, but he seems quite highly socially motivated and showed a lot of shared enjoyment behavior. In fact, if we review the criteria, we can make a case for being conservative here. Of course, it can be difficult to assess social communication when there's a language problem. And it is important to note that the speech therapist was concerned that it was communication more so than language. But he does have undeveloped language. He can't speak clearly beyond a few words. So deficits in social and emotional reciprocity could be part of this social deficit relative to ASD. And yet, would be in part why I would say that he does not meet that criteria. deficits in nonverbal communicative behaviors used for social interaction. So gestures and things. Mom indicates that he has those. In fact, I would suggest that he has those. I think he also may lose eye contact, but there's no resistance to eye contact. We would anticipate some deficit in developing, maintaining, and understanding relationships based on language, and yet there is some evidence that he's close. It'll be important to look back at that observation and consider if there is any indicators for peer relationships there. But an important area to monitor is, despite his language differences, is he showing sociability, shared enjoyment? Is he finding ways to still interact with his peers? And we have to consider that the language impact is present and might impact how he's perceived by his peers. Secondly, if we look at criteria B, we're looking for restricted repetitive patterns of behaviors, interests, or activities. And we need at least two of these, and there is some reason to consider presence and also to inquire, is this at that level for diagnosing? So, for instance, I have seen some stereotyped use of objects and movements, but they were not insistent. They were not consistent. They did not happen throughout. They happened briefly when he wasn't engaged and he was playing on his own. During testing, none of that interfered. I think typically, these behaviors can often interfere. Lining up toys is listed as an example of a stereotyped use of objects. Insistence on sameness is not clear. Inflexible adherence to routines was not indicated. Ritualized patterns of behavior were not indicated, not reported by mother, and yet it's curious, could the young person be using ritualized verbal behaviors relative to his speech limits? And then there was some indication of insistence on sameness. We have now, but the only indicator was the simple one of picky eating, which is common among boys and young children. And we might not consider that at the level of criteria requirement for insistence on sameness. Mom indicated potentially, although she placed him in the larger normal range, some hyporeactivity to sensory input. I did not see any sensory seeking in that way, other than the visual, relative to the spinning, again, we have heard spinning and twirling objects as a kind of associated behavior of ASD, it's hard to describe it as a primary behavior of ASD. And then mom has been a little inconsistent about whether interests are highly restricted or fixated. It's important to say that he did have trouble moving on from the cards he played with here, but when asked obliquely, mom denied that she feels that it's at the level of intensity of a narrowed interest. Also, it wasn't a knowledge-based narrowed interest. He didn't have more knowledge to share about something or it would be a common toy for a child his age to be gravitated towards in my office. In the paperwork where it says that patient did have some fixated interest, the two examples they offered was cars and dinosaurs. These are the two toys that the mom did mention that he plays with. And so, again, I hope I have made a case that it is a complex determination in this case. And yet, because of the behaviors that I observe, my recommendations follow a line that includes pursuing further evaluation, specifically with a provider that has access to the evidence-based treatment, if indeed it was to be determined that he had ASD. I think that it is important to consider developmental language disorder and to consider them separately and together, where is a person with developmental language disorder can engage in many behaviors associated with autism spectrum disorder. So sorry, I'm missing something. Okay, that's all right. Here it is. Thank God. It's important to say that new paragraph. It's important to say there are many shared qualities between autism levels 2 and 3 and developmental language disorder. Marked difficulties in verbal and nonverbal social communication skills. The limited speech. Being able to only express their basic needs. Possible difficulties forming friendships. Difficulty coping with changes. Issues with theory of mind and significant risk of other psychological disorders. So you can see that it is really important that some care be taken relative to the family's willingness and agreement to consider that there could be value in evaluating for autism spectrum disorder. But keeping in mind the many contraindications listed here, for instance, his being pro-social and showing shared enjoyment. Again, I'm in consultation with the speech therapist as to the crossover and the level of possible shared symptoms between developmental language disorder and autism spectrum disorder. It's my hope that the recommendations below help the family slowly begin to clear away what may or may not be happening in this case and to continue to provide better and better care for Lucas, who is certainly a creative child who has special skills to make up for some of his language deficits and shows great social motivation and curiosity. And as I said above, may actually have very sufficient IQ if we remove the language element. Very much experienced him that way. Despite his language limitations, I enjoyed my time with him and felt that we related during that time. I do see that he has some behavioral troubles, and I will encourage a trial of medication supports to see if they can help. Excuse me, a trial of evidence-based treatment for ADHD, where there are various levels of evidence and intensity. I'll share these results with the family and encourage them to consider pursuing those treatments. Thank you so much. I'll take it from here.